Welcome to episode 3 of Tea and Table. I'm Annie, and this is a podcast about me talking to you about drinking tea and making board games. But, you know, mostly the latter, making games, like currently a cooperative game about hacking into a network codenamed Infiltration. This week, I unfortunately caught the flu or something flu-like, which is why my voice sounds funny, but since I committed to making an episode every week, I can't just not do that. So here I am, heroically, sipping some tea and talking. So what's this episode about? Just recently, I went to Bern to meet up with a bunch of fellow game designers from Switzerland, some of them from Zurich, which is where I live, and some of them from the French-speaking part of Switzerland. Needless to say, we did a lot of playtesting, and I got feedback on my game's latest iteration, which was fairly improvised and completely untested, but luckily game designers are very good at separating early prototype problems from the core design idea, and at understanding which feedback is most useful at any given stage, so that I ended up with a bunch of helpful feedback. One of the suggestions I got was to improve the flow of the game by, for example, reducing the amount of high-level structure, like rounds and faces. So in the prototype that I brought to Bern, each player draws from a shared pool of resources to play out cards that have a resource cost. The resource in my game is CPU, which stands for Central Processing Unit and is a computer component also called processor, basically the heart of any computer, phone, or other device that typically performs general computations. Now, in that iteration of Infiltration, one round lasted until all CPU resource tokens were used up. This was important because a bunch of things would trigger between rounds, notably your opposing forces would act and get stronger. Remember, it's a cooperative game. If you know Spirit Island, it was structurally similar to that. Use all your resources in Spirit Island, its energy, and do as much useful stuff as possible with that, and then the game fights back, just in a much more elaborate way than in my prototype. So I completely agree that it would be nice to reduce the structural complexity in terms of how rounds and turns work, so that the game flows more nicely and without interruptions. I'm aiming for a high ratio of gameplay depth to rules and component complexity as well as length, meaning that I want to enable interesting decisions in gameplay while minimizing rules and component overhead, as well as keeping playtime in check. Importantly, I don't want the decision space to be endless or even particularly large, but I do want all decisions to be impactful and to have interesting trade-offs. Now, in order to remove the rigid round structure, I started out by simply removing the CPU resource tokens from the game. CPU and the associated round structure felt quite key to the game to me, and I still like how thematic it is because CPU makes a lot of sense as a resource that remains over time, but is exhausted for any given time window like a round. However, thinking about it, the idea is not revolutionary, and neither is it important to me that you pay for playing cards in this exact way. So when trying to solve a game design problem, removing something rather than adding or modifying systems is typically a good idea, especially if I can't come up with a good reason to keep it. So I got rid of the resources and round structure. But that means my new iteration will need another way to trigger and control the opposing forces, like increasing the alert level in the network as you are moving around, hacking into targets. To get into this a bit more, I should explain how those opposing forces currently work, how the game tries to stop you from winning. As you may remember from episode 2, the network is made up of hex-shaped tiles, and each tile has multiple interconnected network nodes that players can move around on. The security system of the network, however, will only operate on the level of the hex tiles. It's currently represented as simple little cubes that you put on a tile and that represent that the tile has better security or an increased alert level or something like that. Generally, players will want to avoid or get rid of these security cubes. Now, in my previous iteration of the game, security cubes would spawn at the end of the round, incentivizing efficient usage of the CPU resources during the round before new security cubes would spawn. Instead of that, I've decided to spawn them as a direct and predictable result of player actions, more precisely of running commands and moving around the network, both of which you do by playing out cards. I hope this will make for some interesting tactical trade-offs as you play out cards, and I also really like how that makes sense thematically. Suspicious activity in the network triggers immediate countermeasures, and how suspicious your activity looks depends on what exactly you're doing and how sneaky you are. Coming back to the original goal, it also reduces the round structure to very simple player turns. I'm still figuring out how to best limit what you can do in a turn, but I think I'll start with a very simple variant where you can play up to 2 cards on your turn. Apart from this, I have a couple other design goals for this next iteration. For example, making the game actually fully playable, incorporating more collaborative elements, and figuring out a way to leverage the network structure and topology of the nodes and connections on the hex tiles, so that they actually matter in interesting ways. I'm currently working on all of this and more, and will probably talk about it in the coming episodes. Again, if you have feedback, comments, thoughts, or just want to say hello, you're very welcome to do so, and you can find my email address and Discord handle in the show notes. I hope I'll talk to you next time.